All right, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. To Ephesians, we're going to look at chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, 1 through 16. All right? You guys had a good week? Yeah? You guys hanging in there? Sort of. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. As we've been sharing as a church, that today is Palm Sunday. For those of us who kind of grew up in the church and know what Palm Sunday is, it's the Sunday where Jesus entered into Jerusalem. It's a week before he was to be crucified. And all the masses greeted him, waving the palm branches, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And it was indeed Jesus' triumphal entry, right? But not necessarily in the way that the crowds imagined. Because what they want ultimately from Jesus was freedom, and that freedom was freedom from Roman oppression, that they wanted to be a nation. But what Jesus was going to do was he was ultimately going to die on the cross, and that he was going to give them freedom from the shackles of sin and death. And so when you think about it, I have, all right, so this is Palm Sunday, but the next picture is ultimately the road that Jesus was headed towards. This act of dying on the cross, I mean, this was literally Jesus' last act of service for us. That on the cross, that he did something where you and I, that we were not able to do for ourselves, and that was freedom from our sin. You know, we've been talking about this issue of what it means to know our identity, our biblical identity. And when you think about our identity being a reflection of Jesus' identity, of who he is, I think one of the most powerful descriptions of Jesus' identity in the Bible is, what? A servant. And that's why in Philippians 2, Paul tells us that Christ, who being in very nature God, ultimately made himself nothing, and he took on the nature of a servant. And in that nature of a servant, that he went to the cross to die for each and every one of us. And if we are able to understand what our identity is in Christ, then ultimately I think we need to understand that just as Christ came to serve, that he empowers you and I to serve as well. That we are empowered to serve. That we are empowered to make a difference. And that's a very powerful concept of being empowered to make a difference. Especially in this generation, I think that concept resonates with many of us because we are an activist generation. That we don't just sit idly by, but we get involved in the problems that we see around us. Problems like human trafficking. Problems like people in other parts of the world who don't have clean water. Problems like trying to find sustainable resources, food for people to survive, and not only that, but to actually make a micro business out of it to make a living for themselves. And so I think we understand this concept of making a difference in the lives of people. And I think that's why for many people, when you begin to live for yourself, right, all your time, energy, and effort, it goes into whatever it is that you want to accomplish for your life. In the beginning, it's great. But after a while, your heart becomes very empty and you begin to think, well, is this it? There must be more to this life than just trying to fulfill the desires of our own hearts. And that's why there's so many stories. I was Googling all these stories of empowered living and blah, 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 and I came to so many different sites, like Oprah. She's really big on empowerment. I heard that she's gonna do like a tour sometime this year, something about like living an empowered life. I was like, wow, that sounds awesome, sort of. But you hear so many different stories of, you know, people in these jobs and in these careers making all this money, but ultimately it really left them empty. So instead of pursuing that corporate life, they would jump ship and completely change their careers. So that now they're teaching in parts of our country and even the world that normal people would not necessarily go to teach. That they're engaging in different career choices and activities that actually make a difference in the lives of people. And in the midst of it, that they feel so fulfilled because they know that they're impacting another person's life. And I think this is important because ultimately this is the way in which God has created every single one of us to not only exist in community, but actually to make a difference as we strive to serve others. That we can make a difference as we strive to serve others. Okay, turn to the person next to you and remind them that you can make a difference in my life. So we want to talk about what does it mean for us as Christians, as followers of Christ, to be empowered and to know that our identity is that we are people who are empowered. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and read this passage together. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 16. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 16. So Word of God, it says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." So this afternoon, I want to talk about two aspects of what it really means for us to be empowered. Two aspects of what it means for us to be empowered to serve, okay? The first aspect that I want to talk about is unity, which we see in verses 1 through 6, all right? Unity. Say with me, unity.
Unity.
All right, I'm going to try to make this a little bit more interactive. I realize that today is a little bit more of a cozier crowd, which is good. And hopefully we can dialogue and hopefully it'll be good time for us. All right? So unity.
Unity.
Thank you. You know, Paul tells the Ephesian church to what? He says to walk in a manner that is worthy of their calling. To walk or to live in a manner that is worthy of their calling. And the specific calling that he's talking about here is what he talked about in verses 1 through 3. How before we were apart from God, but by the grace of God that we've entered into this relationship with him, how we've been made alive in Christ, and God saved us, and that was through grace and grace alone, that it was by faith and not by our works. And this calling that Paul has been describing, that he says now to walk or to live in a manner worthy of that calling, worthy of that relationship that we have with God. It's really interesting how Paul equates this calling that he has, that he says that we have, that each and every one of us that we have received, with how we ought to relate to one another. Because what he says there is, to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. It's in the context of our relationship with one another. And I think this is really important because when you think about Jesus, And when you think about Jesus' identity of how he came to serve each and every one of us, he served us. How did he serve us? He served us through his humility. He served us through his gentleness. He was patient, and he is loving with us. And just as how Christ served us in these ways, this is how we are called to serve one another. And I think the amazing thing here to me is that as we begin to serve one another, as we are humble, as we are gentle, as we are patient, as we begin to bear with one another in love, we become united around God's purpose for us as a church. That we become united around God's purpose for us as his people. Now, I think unity is important. I think when you go to any organization, they would say unity is very important. That's why, I don't know if you guys read this article that came out about Amazon. Let me see if I can get this story straight in my mind. Oh, I should have printed out the article. But I think it was on CNN. They were talking about how for the new hired, the people that they hire in, right? After a certain period of like going through training and all that stuff, Amazon actually offers them, I think it's up to like $5,000 to quit, right? So that's an incentive for you to quit. In other words, what they are trying to say is that we only want people who really love to work here. And so if you don't like it, then we're going to give you this incentive to not only pay for the 3 months or however long that you've been working here, but we're actually going to give you $5,000 to quit, because what we want here is an atmosphere where the people are united, where they know that when they come to Amazon, they're excited to work for whatever reason. And I heard that they actually have a program where for the people that work in the warehouses, that they'll actually reimburse their tuition, and it doesn't matter what it is that they're studying. As long as it's in a field where afterwards they're going to go and make a difference. So even if you're someone who works at the warehouse, if you say, you know what, I want to continue my studies and I want to become a teacher, then they'll actually pay for your education. And after you're done, you have no obligations to Amazon. That you can actually quit and go and become a teacher, and they'll empower you. Which I think is such an awesome culture. And I was thinking about, what would it be like? Well, I know that we as a church, of course, you know, we're not here to weed anyone out, right? That's not our purpose. I don't know. We'll give you a really yummy cookie if you don't come back next. I mean, that sounds so weird, right? Because we want people to come back. $5,000 if you quit. And I think that tells us that unity is really important. For us, unity is important because ultimately when we think about what unity is, by us being united with one another, it's the reflection of who God is. And I think for me, that's why unity in the church is so important. So when you think about this, so that when you invite people to our church, whether they're guests, whether they're your friends, coworkers, whoever that they are, or when you invite them to life group, that when they're able to see unity amongst people who might not necessarily have much in common, right? People who are old, people who are young, people who love dogs, people who love cats, you know, people who are in the sciences, people who are into like English or art, people who are from Dallas, people who are from Houston, that as we are able to express this unity, ultimately that's really a testimony to the God that we serve, the power of God who's able to unite our hearts together. And so when you think about it, it's not just one person out there doing their own thing. It's not just this one person with this vision of, I want to reach out to my friend, so I'm going to invite them and I'm going to do all this, but it's the church coming together as we are unified in our purpose. And so when I think about unity, it's not necessarily that we don't have disagreements. I mean, we can have disagreements. Some of you think UT has the best football stadium. Others of you, no, it's the big house in Ann Arbor. I mean, we can have disagreements. It's not necessarily that we have to be agreeable. It's not necessarily that we have to strive for uniformity. But I think unity ultimately is knowing the purpose and the heart behind why we do the things that we do. It is about what we do and why we do those things. For example, when you think about the unity that we experience in our worship, it's not necessarily that we sing the same songs. I mean, that would help, right? Can you just imagine, like, Grace and Johan and the band, they're trying to lead in one song, but, you know, here they're singing another song, and here they're singing a completely different song. I mean, it's disunity. But it's not necessarily the fact that we are singing a same song, hopefully in tune together. But when you think about it, the unity in our worship, it comes from the fact that we know that we are gathering together like this because we want to proclaim the greatness of God. And that as we worship, then we want to continue to fuel our hunger and our desire for God. And if all of us are on the same page, and when we come together and when we engage in worship, man, that's powerful. And I think that's why for me, experiences like Ignite that's coming up this summer, the missions conference that we're going to be doing, it's such a powerful experience, not because, you know, yeah, we get to go on this road trip and we're going to go to Ann Arbor and they're going to, you know, mash like all the different HMCC bands together and we're going to have lights and smoke machine and it's going to be great. I think the reason why events like Ignite is so powerful, it's because there is great unity amongst the people that are worshiping. That we can stand together and that we can sing the songs and one person can proclaim, God, I love you. And the next person that's standing right next to that brother or that sister, when they hear those words, God, I love you, it resonates in their hearts. And they say, you know what? Man, not only do you love God, but I want to love God too. And so we begin to worship together and there's such power in our unity. And I think that's why experiences like Ignite is so powerful, because it's through the unity that we are able to experience God. Sometimes that experience is completely different from what we normally experience on a Sunday. Not to say that we can't experience God in a powerful way. But in a situation like that, the experience that we have of God is, it's different. And that's why I remember earlier years of our church, even in Ann Arbor, when we first started our church, people would just wander into our service. We used to have this thing called New Encounter. I think Ann Arbor still does that. We tried it a couple times. We just changed it to Access. Didn't really work, at least during those times. Hopefully we can bring it back. And it was just to kick off the school year, all it was just a time of worship. It wasn't really preaching. I mean, Pastor Seth would come up and just give a quick exhortation, but mostly it was centered around our worship and prayer. And some people would walk into that, wander into thinking, you know, I'm looking for this or I'm looking for that. And we used to meet in this hall room called Angel Hall, this one of the auditoriums at the University of Michigan. And people would stumble in and thinking, what is this? A bunch of people singing songs and they're lifting their hands and I'm at a concert or I don't know what it is. But as they were able to experience that worship, I mean, we've had testimonies of people coming to know Christ. Not because somehow another person invested into their lives year after year after year, but just that worship experience alone. And you think to yourself, like, what happened? I mean, what happened was that God moved in their hearts. I mean, that's obvious, right? I mean, come on, Pastor Ben. We know what happened. But how? Maybe it was like super awesome singing. I don't know. I think what happened was that they were able to experience the testimony of God through the unity of the hearts of the people. And I think that's why for us, events like OCR, which is going to be coming up this fall, and we're going to start pushing for it. And some of you are here because many of our members came early in the fall to participate in OCR and actually reached out to some of you. Maybe they like hounded you and you're like, oh, fine, I'll check it out. It's not just an event that we come together to reach out to the campus, which we do, but it's an event that we can come together to experience God's heart. And that's why it's important for us, because as we gather together, that we can be unified in knowing that God is passionate about this campus, that God is passionate about people that I wouldn't normally reach out to because they're so different from me, and that God is willing to bring me early to this campus, that God is willing to make me uncomfortable, that I have to step outside of my comfort zones to talk to strangers, because God loves the souls on our campus. And so when you think about what, where is the power in that? Well, the power comes from as our hearts are unified in pursuing after God's burdens and desires. That when we begin to serve one another and when we begin to serve with one another, that we become unified around the cause of Christ. And this is important. And that's why we as a church, we've been pushing you guys to invite people out to Easter celebration. That we've been going through the 40 days. Every single day, we've had weekly themes of what we need to be praying for and what we are striving to live out. And I'm sure your life group leaders have mentioned this as well. And the reason why we printed out those invitations last week and gave it to every single one of you is because it's not just, okay, we want to torture our members. We know that, you know, it's really uncomfortable talking to strangers. It's really uncomfortable talking to people about our faith. So, ha ha ha, this is what we're going to make you do. We're going to force you to be uncomfortable, right? We're going to force you to be an ambassador of Jesus. It's not that. I mean, hopefully we can compel you with the love of Christ. It's not forcing you to do anything. It's not shaming you. You know, next Sunday, if you don't bring anyone, man, maybe that could be our philosophy. Just like Amazon, they'll pay you $5,000. You don't bring anyone, don't come to church. No, I'm just kidding. I'm completely kidding, all right? We're not here to shame anyone, thinking, oh, you didn't bring anyone. You've been a bad Christian. But the reason why we've been encouraging you, asking you to pray for that one person, is because I need you to be clear and I need you to understand that we have to be unified around the purpose and the heart of our church. And the purpose and the heart of our church is to transform every single one of us, to transform you into Christ's disciples, so that it no longer becomes the slogan, transforming lost people into Christ's disciples will then transform the world. Right? When we do experiencing ministry, I always ask people, what is the mission of our church? Something about transformation and world and going out. Yes. Transforming lives and transforming the world. So that it no longer becomes just a slogan, but it becomes something that is very tangible and personal, to transform every single one of you into Christ's disciples. That God will use you to transform lives. Because that's the purpose and the heart of our church. And if we don't understand that, and if we don't embrace that, and if we don't have that, then every time we gather together like this, I mean, there's no power because there is no unity. And ultimately, what this becomes is just another religious institution. It doesn't become the living body of Christ. And that's why we need to understand that it's so important for us to be unified together around the cause of Christ. And when I think about this unity, practically speaking, I was thinking about, okay, what does this look like for us to be unified together, so that not only do we serve one another, but God really empowers us so that we can serve the people around us. Well, practically speaking, I was thinking about it, and it's going to look something like this, right? You've been praying for that person, that you're going to invite them out to Easter. And once again, it's not inviting someone to a service. We need to be very clear, because I don't want this to be, you know what, I invited that person out to Easter, and whoo, I did my job for the rest of the year. It's inviting someone to Jesus. And when I think about Easter celebration, I mean, that's such a natural way for us to invite someone to Jesus. So as you are praying, and hopefully you've been asking your life group members to pray with you, I mean, you are partnering together. Once again, that's an avenue where we can be unified around the purpose, around the cause. Because these are the specific people in your life who are important to you, hopefully, that you want them to come to know and to experience the love of Christ. And so as you invite them out to church, that you can know and trust that as they enter into this place, the hospitality team, they're just going to shine that smile. They're going to welcome them. And that once again, there's this partnership, knowing that it's not just me bringing my friend to church, but it's us as a church rallying around you, partnering with you, so that we do our best to share the love of Christ with this person, so that as they come into the service, that they can be greeted by our hospitality members, and as they sit down, they're sitting down on the chairs that our helps team and hospitality team set up, hopefully prayed over. And as they sit down, that you can trust the people around you that are members. If they see someone that are new, that they're going to reach out to them, that they're going to make them feel welcome, that they're not going to be isolated by themselves, that you're thinking, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to my friend if I have to go to the bathroom or if I go get some coffee? They're going to be alone, not knowing anyone, and not, you know, who are they going to talk to, and that we can partner with one another. And how's that going to come? Because we are unified around this vision of we want people to come to know Christ. That as we're worshiping together, that we're praying, God, through our worship, reveal yourself. That as I come up to share the word of God, that you guys are praying and interceding for me, asking God to use me to speak His truth into the lives of the people that you have invited. And hopefully trusting that I won't do anything that will offend them, at least not to the best of my abilities. Not to shame you in any way. And that even after our celebration is over during fellowship time, that we can be united under this desire of wanting people to experience the love of God through our actions and our words. I mean, practically speaking, that's how partnership should be, right? And I believe that's how, as a church, that we're going to be empowered to make a difference. So next week, especially next week, I think we need to be very clear on our expectations. And there's just one expectation, which is that we're going to be unified together because we want people to come to know Christ. And hopefully that's why you're bringing people to church, so that they can experience the love of Christ. And that's not going to happen as we reach out to them by ourselves. But that's going to happen as we as a church can rally around the heart of God for this person. So not only unity, but the second aspect of our empowered service we see in verses 7 through 16 is impact. All right, say with me once again, impact. Paul states that the grace was given to every single one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. The specific grace that he's mentioning here is the gifts. These gifts that Christ gave to us, to what? To empower us to serve. And specifically, he says in verse 11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers,
to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. In other words, to utilize these spiritual gifts that he has placed in our lives to what? To serve. To impact the lives of the people around us. And so I was thinking about these gifts, and I was thinking about how do we impact others? Whether they're people in our church, and when we think about the context of next week, hopefully some of the guests that we'll be inviting out, how do we impact others? We impact others by, first of all, creating. And I was thinking about this. We are creating. Some of you have this apostolic gift where you're creating new avenues and opportunities for people to come to know Christ. That's what apostles do, right? They create a way for people to come to experience the love of God. So that when you're thinking about not only Easter service, it goes beyond that. And so if you're more apostolic, you're thinking, okay, so how is this going to work? How am I going to create maybe an opportunity for us to partner together within our life groups so that we can reach out? And whoever it is that we're reaching out to, that they will come to know Christ. And we're thinking, you know what, maybe before we come to church on Sunday, maybe sometime in that week, on Tuesday, let's all have lunch, and we're going to invite one person out so that they're already familiar with people in our life group, so that when they come to church, they'll know at least a couple people so that they won't feel like they're complete strangers. Or maybe you're thinking, you know what? Sunday, we're going to have Easter celebration. I know that we're going to have snacks, and it's going to be great because our hospitality team, once again, awesome, right? But then what about doing dinner afterwards? And going out and fellowshipping and continuing on that conversation with our friends. This is how you're going to impact some of you. God is going to use you to create avenues and opportunities. You know, some of you who are like really extroverted and you're constantly wanting to know people, great. But drag some people with you. And not only by creating, but the second thing is by encouraging and healing. That we speak God's love and truth into people's lives. Because that's what prophets do. People with the prophetic gifts, that they're able to speak God's heart. And I was thinking, I mean, it would be so amazing. That when you think about just even us gathering together, it's not just what we are able to do, but it's about opening ourselves up to the supernatural work of God. And so ultimately, that's what we want one another to experience. That's what we want our friends to experience. And so wouldn't it be awesome if during maybe the time of response or as we were praying for one another or even during fellowship time, maybe God brings certain burdens to you. And I've shared this many times, that as you are able to pray, that you're able to pray God's visions, God's dreams, and God's heart into their lives. And as you speak the things that are on God's heart, man, the people are going to be so touched. Because through you, that they're going to be impacted by you encouraging them. By God using your prophetic voice to even bring about healing in their lives. So not only creating by encouraging and healing, but I was also thinking by motivating. Because this is what evangelists do. They motivate the church. They're constantly challenging us to think about the people around us. So that even as your life groups have done the missional initiatives, which is awesome, but it's the evangelists that are constantly thinking, okay, so what's next? These people that we were able to reach out to, whether it's the east side of Austin, whether it's the international students, how can we continue to connect with them? Well, maybe invite them out to church. Maybe we're going to provide rides if they're too far. And we don't know exactly what's going to happen next, but at least we're out there encouraging people. As you meet up with people in your LCGs or as you meet up with different people in our church, that you're challenging them. Who is it that you're praying for? Because let me pray with you. Who have you shared your faith with this week? Now, you know that's a true friend. That when they're able to love you enough to look you in the eye, right? And say, who have you shared your faith with this week? Man, if you have a friend like that, don't ever let that person go. Because they will build you up. They will challenge you to be more like Christ. Because you know the friends where you just hang out and have a good time, but you know after you're done, it's like, eh, it's okay. But you don't really feel edified. You don't feel challenged in your faith. I mean, there's so many of those types of friends. It's some of you who are going to motivate others to think about people outside of the walls of the church and how we can constantly make that impact. Some of you are going to impact by loving and caring because this is who you are. You guys are shepherds. You guys are pastors. So you're going to literally be the hands and the feet of Christ. You're going to talk to people. You're going to ask them what they need. You might even think about, man, wouldn't it be awesome, these people that are going to come out to church, that even afterwards as a life group, maybe we can do something for them? I don't know if this is kind of like stalker, creepy-esque, but I was thinking, wouldn't it be awesome if you guys maybe like did like a small care package as a life group and just like after church dropped it off at their door? Oh, thank you for coming out to church. I don't know if that feels weird. There's actually a church. They, whenever there's a newcomer that comes, their hospitality team takes all their information, like name, address, and all that stuff. And so before they leave the service, they put this care package together and they drop it off at the person's door. So that after church, when they come home, it's like right there waiting for them. Thank you for coming to our church. Just wanted to let you know that we love you. Is that creepy? I was thinking, man, if I was the one who was receiving that, I would feel so cared for. Like, man, these people, they're a little bit creepy, but they love me and they care for me. By loving and caring for others and thinking about continuing to reach out to them. That it's not just like, okay, I did my part, I did my project, yay, God, thank you for giving me this opportunity to invite someone out to Easter, and then that's it. And then you get so caught up in your finals. But you are concerned about the needs of others. And lastly, by speaking God's truth. That we are constantly speaking the words of God's truth into each other's lives so that we can encourage, so we can motivate. And Paul says the aim of all this, God gifting us, God gifting the church, it's so that ultimately that we can become a mature church that knows three things. He says that first of all, that we can know Christ and become more like him in verse 14. And not only that, but the second thing he says is that we can become a church that is rooted and moved by the truths of Christ, verse 15. That it's not by circumstances, it's not by how we feel, but it's by the word of Christ. And ultimately, that we are submitted to Christ and that we're led by him. Verse 16, that Christ is the head. That Jesus gets to decide how we're going to function as a church. That Jesus gets to decide what our mission is going to be as a church. And so I was thinking about this. You know, I think the question necessarily isn't whether we are making an impact in the lives of others or not. Because I think all of us are making an impact. Even if you're not doing anything, you're still making an impact. Albeit it might be a negative impact, but you're making an impact. But I think ultimately the question is, what kind of an impact are we making? Is it impact that's temporary? Is it impact that's fleeting? Is it impact that's maybe negative, or is it an impact that's influencing their destiny into the eternal things of God's kingdom? Because I don't know about you, but that's what I want to live for. that we need to be united. And not only united, but we need to go out there to exercise the gifts of God that He has placed in every single one of us so that we can make that eternal impact. So that one thing that I want to leave with us simply is that we are empowered to impact others with Christ's love. Okay? If you forget anything else, just remember this, that we are empowered to impact others with Christ's love. So what we're going to be doing for the rest of the time, we just want to pray for one another. We want to pray for the specific people that we're going to be inviting out. And if you haven't talked to them about coming out to church yet, don't just give them the flyer and say, hey, come out to church. I mean, invite them out. And this is what I mean by inviting them out, right? I think there's nothing weird with inviting them out to something that's important to you. So just ask them, hey, do you want to come to church with me on Sunday? What else are you going to be doing? It's Easter. It'll make your parents happy, right? Invite them out. And let them know, you don't have to wear anything. If they say, well, I don't have anything to wear, that's fine, right? Because the Sunday best that God wants is it's in our hearts. Right? You can be really philosophical. It's not about what we wear, but it's in our hearts. And just let them know what's going to be happening. You know, when you come to church, there's going to be some people that's going to greet you, and they're going to help us to sit down, and we're going to start with some worship, and we sing songs because that's how we praise God. And you know, you might see some people that are raising their hands, but it's kind of like going to a concert, right? And when you go to a concert and when you hear the song that really moves in your spirit, people just naturally raise their hands. And same thing in the church, except we're responding to God. And then afterwards, the pastor is going to come and he's going to share with us about what it means to have hope in Christ, because that's what we're going to be talking about next week, how Jesus brings hope into our lives. And then after that, we're going to have a time of respond where we pray, and prayer is like talking to God. And there might be some people who might sit around you asking you if you need prayer for anything. And if you feel uncomfortable, you can just let them know, that's okay. And just let them know, don't worry, you're not going to offend anyone. And afterwards, we'll fellowship. And just let them know what's going to be happening. Because as soon as you let them know what's going to be happening, I mean, it really disarms them. So that there is no nervousness of, oh man, what am I going to expect? And ultimately, what we are praying is that God will use every single one of us to make that impact in the lives of people. Because for me, I think that's one of the greatest testimonies that you will carry with you. I know that some of you guys are graduating as seniors. And many of you guys have a year, two, three left. But literally when all is said and done, the memories that you're going to take with you from your experience here, it's going to be the relationships and the impact that you were able to make in those relationships and the impact that other people were able to make in you in your relationships. Because when I reflect back on my college days, my grad school days at Michigan, I mean, that's what I remember and cherish the most. You have to know that God has equipped you and God has equipped us as a church so that we lack in nothing to go and to make disciples of all nations. Don't let Satan fool you into thinking, I can't do this. He's half right. You can't do it on your own. That's why Jesus brings us together as a church, that He unifies us. That some of you, you're going to create. Some of you, you're going to heal. Some of you, you're going to speak truth. Some of you, you're going to love. That you have to know that you are empowered to make a difference. And I think having that truth in you, it makes all the difference in the world of how you live your life, of how you engage in your studies, of how you think about your future, of how you go and build relationships with the people around you. That God has individually and specifically called every single one of you because he wants to use you to impact someone else's life. And not only is that a great responsibility, but that's a great joy to know that you can actually make a difference. Because who among us, how many of us, if I was to take a straw poll and say, you know what, at the end of your life, that you want to be remembered as a person who made absolutely no difference. That on your gravestone that you want, I made no difference. 1997 to whatever. That's terrible. I wouldn't want that for anyone. But the question is, what are you willing to do about it? We need to be unified. Not only next week, but every time we gather together as a church, we need to be unified around the heart of Christ. And not only that, but we need to be released to go and to make an impact in the lives of people. Okay, let's pray together. There's two things I want to pray together for today, so... I don't know why, but I was kind of preparing this message and just thinking about not only tomorrow, but many of us and the calling that we have in our lives to be empowered to serve others. I just feel like God is wanting to release his anointing over your life to do that. And so first of all, we want to pray for that, for God's anointing over your life. And I believe that part of that anointing is going to come from helping you to realize that you are so loved and so valued, that God sought you out because he desired to use you, that you are this precious instrument in his hands. And for some of us, he is wanting to bring greater purpose in our lives. More than just the purpose of pursuing after our studies, more than just the purpose of worrying about our future, more than just the purpose of what grad school we're going to get into, more than just the purpose of our careers, whether we're going to get married or not, more than these concerns that are temporary. And that your identity is that you are someone who has been empowered by God. Empowered to make a difference. And you need to realize that truth. So I'm going to ask us, we want to have some time where we can actually lay our hands on one another and really pray for this empowerment and the anointing over our lives. But before we do that, can we just pray for our own hearts? I think in the opening worship, as Grace was mentioning, for some of us who are far from God in our relationship, when our relationship with God, that personal relationship, is strained, it's really hard for us to believe that we're empowered to do anything. So first of all, let's be praying that even as we come before God, that he will continue to remind us of this calling that he has. That you have been saved by Christ. That you belong to Christ. That he is your Heavenly Father. And that he is here to walk with you, to empower you. And as our hearts become reconnected to the heart of God, that we can not only know God's heart for us, but for one another, and ultimately for our church. So can we just spend some time just praying for our relationship, our personal relationship with God, and just asking God to come once again and to clarify and to reinforce that calling that God has for us, that we are known by him and that we have been saved through grace, okay? Let's pray for that together. So whether you want to stand with me or whether you want to remain seated, let's pray together for that and ask the Spirit of God to speak. Can we do that together? Let's pray together.